All right, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 34. And we're glad to be able to be back behind the pulpit today. Glad to get back into the book of Psalms. I don't know. I've been thinking about a couple of things. I may take a little break from the Psalms. I don't know. One of the things about when you're off and you can't speak because of medical situations, you know, lots of thoughts go through your mind. I mean, you're sitting there for 2 weeks and you can't prepare messages, and you start thinking, well, there's this to do and there's that to talk about and there's this to talk about. Really and truthfully, as a pastor, you think about all of the things that people need to hear. And there's a multitude of things that people need to hear, and there's really not enough sermons to get them all in. And then you start thinking about, well, I need to preach this, so I'll preach this on Sunday morning and this on Sunday night. And then you start thinking, well, I know there's some people that's Sunday morning onlys, and so they won't hear that, so I really need to preach that on Sunday morning. Anyway, trying to decide what you want to preach when you want to preach is sometimes difficult. But I've been really enjoying myself this study of the book of Psalms. Because we're a few weeks removed from looking at the Psalms, I do want to remind you how that we are studying them. The first thing that we remember is that we're looking at why the Psalm was written. Second of all, we've tried to look at the poetic components of the Psalms. And then thirdly, we've tried to make applications. So when we think about Psalm 34, trying to think, why was the psalm written, or what is the setting of when the psalm was written? And when you look at this, it's very evident to us in Psalm 34 that it tells us there in my Bible, it tells us a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And so we understand exactly what was going on in David's life when he wrote Psalm 34. If you remember, there was a time when Saul hated David, and Saul sought to kill David. And David ran away from Saul. And at this point, he went down to Abimelech, Achish, and he feigned himself mad before the king. And we'll look at that in a little more in depth. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at 1 Samuel 21. In just a moment, even before we read Psalm 34. So you might want to go ahead and turn there to 1 Samuel 21. But that is what was going on in David's life when he wrote this psalm. So there is no doubt that this psalm is a reflection of David after God had saved him from Abimelech and he went to the cave of Adullam. So again, we think about the events preceding the happening or the writing of this psalm in David's life. Saul is jealous of David. Remember, David was very victorious in battle, and it says this, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And because of that, Saul became very jealous of David. Again, you know that if you go back and you read the accounts of these situations, there were a couple of times when Saul tried to thrust David through with a javelin, and he tried to slay him. David and Jonathan had become great friends, and Jonathan being Saul's son, Saul was even jealous of their relationship. Saul told Jonathan, you're going to allow you're going to allow David to steal your position with the people. You ought to be next in line to the throne, and you're going to allow David to steal that. David flees from Saul, and if you remember, he stopped by Nob, there to where the priest dwelt, and he was there seeking food, and he was seeking weapons. If you remember, he ate the showbread there, and he found Goliath's sword and took it with him. Later on, if you remember, it caused Saul was so angry that he went and killed all of the priests there in Nob. And so David now goes to Gath, to Achish. And let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 21. just reading some more of the events that happened during that time. 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 15. And it says, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him and dance, as saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled at the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the bad man in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" And so after this, it says, chapter number 22 and verse number 1, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam." And there, that cave Adullam, it became David's operations center as David was fleeing from Saul. And many of the outcasts, it tells us, as many as 400 men come to David there, and they come underneath his leadership. And so this is where David spent those years, you might say, in exile. The interesting thing is, we think about the poetic components of this psalm. Again, that's the background of what was happening before David wrote this psalm. And we'll actually see why David wrote in the way that he did, because he's thinking about the protection that God has given him. I mean, he went down to a foreign king, and he went down to a foreign king for protection. And then he gets down there and he begins to think, this might not have been the smartest decision for me to make. And God protected him. God allowed him to be delivered. And so David is reflecting upon that. Now, this Psalm 34 is one of those alliterative psalms. It's one of those where each one of the verses starts with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And there it is in alphabetical order. Each one of the 22 verses has the first being Aleph and on down through. The first letter of every verse is the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. That is the poetic components of this. And again, why would David write in such a way? And why would a poet use that method to write a poem? And it is to aid in memorization. This is a psalm that in some of my study I found out that it was a very popular song amongst the people, because it's going to talk about deliverance. It's going to talk about protection. And especially a soldier who was maybe taken captive. He had this psalm memorized. So even though that he was a captive of the enemy, that he would remember that God delivered David and God could deliver him also. So it was a psalm that would bring confidence to the people as they thought about the difficulties that they faced and they might be delivered from. And so it was an alliterative psalm to help them memorize it, to help them remember what God was going to do for them. Now, as we think about this and we think about the circumstance and the situation, we know that David finds himself in a difficult situation. He is like a man without a country. He can't dwell in his own country because Saul is out to kill him. He's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing but be a good servant of Saul. He's done nothing but help Saul establish his throne. David has never gone against Saul. He's never tried to take Saul's throne. He always was in submission to Saul. Didn't matter, Saul hated him. Saul was out to kill him, so he had to flee his country. Neither could he go to another country for protection, because he went down to Gath, he went down to Abimelech, and no doubt David had fought battles with Gath before and had gained victories there. And so that king, the armies of the king are saying, this is David. We fought a battle with him. He's killed his 10,000s. You're going to bring this guy into our country and allow him to live here? David wisely, after making a probably a rash decision to flee down to Abimelech, came to his senses, so to speak. He came to his senses and he feigned himself a madman to try to get out of the situation. So here he is. He can't live in his own country. He can't go to another country because of his military prowess. He probably killed many of their soldiers or had them killed. And so in this unwise move, David goes to Achish or Abimelech. Achish being his name, Abimelech being his position. He goes down there and looks for protection. And while he was there, he could have been very easily slain. Now think about this. If you were a king of a country and the greatest soldier from your enemy came into your town, came into your city, what would you do with him? Would you say, "Oh, come on up here, buddy. Let's have you come and live in my castle with me"? Or would you say, "I got this guy in my house. I got him in my town. I'm going to wipe him out"? That's very well what could have happened to David. He could have been slain, but God protected him and allowed him to escape. So David finds himself in the cave of Adullam, and he finds himself becoming the leader of misfits and malcontents. Many of them were in debt. Some of them were, you go back and read 1 Samuel 22, and you'll find out all the those who came to David for protection. So here we find David. He went down to Abimelech. He feigned himself a madman. He scratched his fingers upon the door and he let the spittle run down his beard, and he was delivered and he escaped and he runs to a cave. Can you imagine what it was like? You were living in Saul's palace and you escape, and now you find yourself in a cave. I don't know about you guys, but a cave is not where I'd like to spend many nights. Like J.R. said the other night about being in the cave and it being the darkest he's ever been in his life. And it is. When you get in there and they turn the lights off and there's no light at all and you can't see your hand right in front of your face. And then you might think, "Well, I wonder what's in this cave. I wonder what's hiding back in the deepest recesses of this cave." Cold, dingy. Here David finds himself there, and he thinks about what God has done for him. In the darkness, as he sits in the darkness of the cave, David reflects upon what God has done for him. And that is Psalm 34. And I can see it, David sitting in the cave, having him a little fire built, and he's starting reflecting about what God has done, and he takes out his whatever he had to write on, and he begins to pen. And the next thing you know, he hears a noise outside. I wonder what that is. Is it some of Saul's men coming to get me? Am I under attack? And then he comes to find out it is men that are coming to him for protection. David writes the psalm when a group of men come to him to be led. And so we find out about this in David writing this psalm, that there's two different ways to think about this psalm. First of all, David wrote this psalm to thank the Lord for saving him. David wrote the psalm to thank the Lord for saving him. And then David wrote the psalm to encourage and teach the 400 outcasts who come underneath his care. So they came to David wanting to be protected. They came to David wanting for him to deliver them. And so David needed to encourage them. David needed to teach them also. And so part of this psalm is that. The psalm can be divided in half. In Psalm verses 1 through 10, you see David's commitment to praise the Lord in all situations. And then you find verses 11 through 22, David's instruction to all people under his care. So now let's think about this psalm and think about the context, think about the setting, think about what's going on in David's life, and think about the reflection that he is making. And let's read Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord remembereth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So again, we are keeping in mind the context, and David is praising the Lord. In every situation, David is reflecting upon the protection that God has given him and how God had delivered him. Saul could have killed him. So could Abimelech. David is protected. David reflects upon that. You know, this just kind of popped into my head, but you know, I don't know whether I have ever been in a situation where my life was threatened. I mean, you know, you think about there's times in your life when maybe an automobile accident happens and you think, man, if I'd have been a minute earlier or a minute late, that could have been me or something like that. But you never really felt in danger of losing your life. I don't know whether you have or not, but I never have really felt like I'm going to die. David had. And he was able to reflect upon that. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Why did David go to Abimelech? Why did David run from Saul? Why did David make such a decision to go to that place, to the city of his enemy? Did David doubt God's ability to protect him? Did David think the only way that he could be protected was to go to Abimelech for protection? I don't know what to do, but I better do something. You know, be cautious if you're in that situation. If the pressures are coming down upon you and you're like, I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? I better do this. Be careful in that situation because you can very easily make a rash and unwise decision. I believe in David's situation, that's exactly what happened. He made an unwise and a rash decision. And even though he made an unwise and a rash decision, and really he didn't, he was running to Abimelech to be protected, and he wasn't trusting God to protect him. And even though David made an unwise and a rash decision, and potentially did not trust God, God protected him anyway. Something important for us to remember. Because of that, because of God's deliverance, David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. He delivered me. He protected me. I didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. I'm going to praise him continually. Listen, that's why we all should be involved in the worship service, because we understand that we have been delivered by God, that he protected us. He delivered our souls from hell. And so we should want to worship him and praise him. That's why we ought to want to serve him, because he has delivered us. David praise continually was in the Lord's mouth. I have in my notes here, can you hear the joy in David's voice in verse number 2? My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I can hear the joy in David's voice. He wants all to know that if they will humbly submit to God, he will lead them. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. If you will submit your soul unto the Lord and let your boast being in him, then he will deliver you and you will be glad. Notice what he says, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to magnify the Lord. Exalt his name together. Why? Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And it's obvious from that passage of Scripture that David feared. He was afraid of Saul chasing him. He was afraid of what would happen to him. That's why he ran to Abimelech to be protected. God delivered him from all of his fears. Listen, we need to seek the Lord. We need to understand he hears us. Then we need to believe that he will deliver us. Why is this written in the Word for us? His words are written for us to know how God delivered David, and we should have the same expectation of him delivering us. David is running for his life. Saul wants to kill him, and David is running from him. And if David could understand that God would deliver him at this time, then we should believe that God is going to deliver us from all of our fears, from all of our troubles. We should have the expectation is God is going to deliver us. And now David is going to give some advice in verses 5 through 10 to those who seek the Lord. Look, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Look to the Lord. When you look to the Lord, you will be lightened. To me, that is enlightened. You look into God's Word. You believe God's Word, and you'll see what the Word of God has to say, and you will become enlightened. And then, when you're enlightened and you walk according to that Word, then you will not be ashamed. This poor man cried, speaking of himself, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Can you see David sitting in the cave, maybe with his little fire, and he's thinking about scratching his hands upon the door and the spittle coming down his beard? This poor man, the man that was feigning himself a madman, this man who was running in fear from Saul, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I can almost see David thinking, man, what a fool was I. You ever found yourself in that position? You've made a decision, probably not a wise decision, and you look back upon the circumstances that you found yourself in, and you think, man, how did I allow myself to get into that position? And then you think about God's deliverance. that's where David was when he penned this psalm. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. How was David able to be delivered from Saul's javelin? How was David able to be delivered from Abimelech's army? The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamped round about him. And David understood the only reason I escaped this situation is because of the angel of the Lord surrounding me. I think it would be wonderful if we had the opportunity to see the times that the angel of the Lord protects us and encamps round about us and provides the way of escape for us. It's sort of like the prophet when the young man was afraid and the prophet prayed that his eyes would be open and he looked out upon the hills and they were surrounded by chariots of fire. And there's more that be with us than they that be with them. If we could get our spiritual eyes open, and if we could see how often we are encamped by the angels of the Lord, and when Satan wants to attack us, then the angels of the Lord protect us. Or when we make a foolish decision, and the angels of the Lord protects us, if we could get insight into that, we would be amazed at how often the angels of the Lord deliver us. David was able to recognize that. And he understood the angel of the Lord delivers him. And we should believe that that is true on our behalf also. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. A friend of mine by the name of Anthony Vance had this scripture on a Facebook post today. It said this: no one is more qualified than the person who has tasted the sweet salvation of the Lord to make known his loving kindness. No one is more qualified to tell about the goodness of God than someone who has tasted the goodness of God. David is explaining to others the goodness of God. And he's encouraging us to taste and see and believe that the Lord is good, and you will be blessed when you trust in Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you will be blessed when you trust in the Lord? David is encouraging us to believe that. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You know, this is definitive language here. This is not wishy-washy language. Well, just maybe, you just might, if you try to trust the Lord, No. David knows the Lord delivered him and the Lord protected him. And he says, fear the Lord. There is no want to them that fear Him. The Lord will always be present with you and deliver you. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see David's encouragement to those who are following him to trust the Lord. And we need to have that same confidence that David did. David saw God deliver him, and he's reflecting upon that, and he's sharing it with us. And we need to remember and recognize what God has done for us and what God will do for us, just like He did David. Now, there's some quick instruction here in verses 11 through 22. Notice he says, come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So you understand that David's going to give some instruction here. Here's the first thing he says. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that he may see good? Is that you? Do you desire life? Do you desire many days? Do you desire that you might see good? Then listen to the instruction of David. He says this: if you desire life, many days, and good, keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking lies. Speaking guile. If you want to see good days, pay attention to your words. Don't speak evil. Don't speak guile. The next thing, depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. Notice here again, we're beginning to see the contrast. Remember in Psalm 1, we talked about the contrast between the good, the one that is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and the one that is sitting in the seat of the scornful. And we talked about that contrast between the two, and we've seen that contrast throughout the entire Psalms. We see it again. The contrast between the good and the contrast between the evil. The contrast between those who keep themselves from evil and those who are involved in evil. Those who keep themselves from speaking evil and they speak peace, and those who speak evil. There is a definite contrast between the two, and we need to recognize that. Depart from evil, but do good. How about this? Seek peace. How much different would our life be if we sought peace? Everywhere you go, you think about all the drama that's in people's lives. How much would people's lives be better if instead of seeking an argument with someone, or seeking a way to be angry with someone, or seeking a way to be mad at someone, if we sought peace, if we sought goodness, if we sought blessing? This is what David is telling them. You want good, you want life, you want many days, do good, seek peace, pursue it. Think about this passage of Scriptures. Verse 15. David wants those who are following him to remember this. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open under their cry. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to seek those that are good. The Bible tells us, the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Have you ever been in a place where you felt alone? I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm out here, I'm all alone. No one could hear me even if I did cry. That was one of the favorite things that people liked to do whenever I was a boy, take them snipe hunting, right? You take them snipe hunting, you blindfold them, you get them way out there in the middle of the woods where there's no lights, they have no flashlight, and you leave them all alone, and there they are. What are they going to do now? I remember some of the stories about some of the Indians or some becoming a man, and they would blindfold the boy and set him on a stump and tell him, no matter what you hear or see, do not move from that stump. Can you imagine what it was probably like? You're out in the woods, no weapons, no lights, no nothing. You're sitting on a stump all alone. What will you do? You sit there all night and you think that you're all alone, and you're afraid, and it's not till the next morning that you see your father sitting there protecting you. This is the idea that David wants us to understand. In all of those times when we think we're alone, in all those times when we think that no one hears, when all those times we think that no one cares about what's going on in our lives, David wanted his followers to recognize and remember, the eyes of the Lord are open upon his righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. Trust him. Believe in him. Again, that's a reflection of David's. David's running from Abimelech. He has no one to turn to. He has no place to go. So he runs to Abimelech. But all along, he didn't need to do that because the Lord was with him, and the Lord was, his eyes were opened unto him, and the Lord was hearing his cry. Here again, verse 16 is that contrast. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. There again is the contrast. Let's remember the Lord is with the good. The Lord is against the evil. Let's remember that contrast. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What is a broken heart and a crushed spirit? That is the opposite of proud. Was David broken by God? Did God want David to see that David couldn't do it on his own and that David needed the Lord? And so God allowed David to go down there and fall into the hands of Abimelech and maybe even think that he was going to lose his life down there so David would know and understand that he was not alone and that God was going to protect him and that God was going to be with him. Sometimes God has to allow us to be at the end of ourselves or be broken completely before we will finally call out to Him and finally trust Him. We think we're so apt and able to handle all the situations of life, and sometimes God says, all right, big boy, you want it? You want to handle it on your own? There you go. And our decisions cause us problems, right? And we're broken. David tells him, Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. If you are broken, if you are contrite, if you are humble before the Lord, those are the ones that the Lord will deliver. And David wanted those that were following him to know to trust the Lord. Now again, here's what I have by verse number 19. I have simply the word, wow. Think about this passage. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. All of us can look back at our lives and we can think about all of the afflictions that we have faced. There's going to be many afflictions. That's one of the great things about the Word of God is that God doesn't tell you that everything is going to be perfect, that everything is going to be easy. God doesn't do that. He says, listen, it's going to be difficult. There's going to be trials in life. It's because we live in a world that's cursed by sin. And so there's going to be afflictions. There are many afflictions in the lives of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. The Lord is with us at all times through all of those afflictions. And we need to believe it and trust in Him. Verse 20 is an allusion to Jesus Christ. He keepeth all His bones, not one of them is broken. That's the protection of the Lord. Again, notice the contrast in verses 21 and 22. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. But the Lord redeemeth the souls of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Again, David's desire is to teach those that had fled to him while he was in the cave of Adullam to trust the Lord, to understand, do good, right? You want to find long days and good? What does he say to do? Seek peace, do good, and pursue it. If you want long days, if you want the blessings of God, seek peace and do good. But understand, if you do evil, then evil is going to come to you. Again, that contrast you find all the way throughout the book of Psalms is there. But David is reflecting upon God's deliverance. You know, I would hope that one of my favorite things to do is to reflect upon the goodness of God to me. You know, like I've said, just think about the fact that before God created this world, He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, just ponder that for a while. That He knew your name before He spoke this world into existence. And then to think about all the things that I did in my past life and who I was while I was lost, and God commendeth his love toward me, and that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Reflect upon that. Reflect upon all those times when you haven't put God first in your life, and you've made mistakes, and you've wavered from your faithfulness. But God was faithful. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Reflecting upon the goodness of God to you. That's what David is doing here. And it's a great exercise. It's good for you to do. And it's good for me to do. It's good for all God's people to do. To reflect upon the goodness of God. David is reflecting upon the time that God delivered him from Abimelech and protected him and allowed him to go to the cave of Adullam. When has God protected you? When you made a foolish and a rash decision. When God protected you and delivered you from that, reflect upon that. That's what caused David to write Psalm 34. And it helps us to recognize the goodness of God and all that God is doing in us when we remember the deliverance of the Lord. David shared that with us in Psalm 34 to help us to be encouraged to trust the Lord in the difficult times of life. We're thankful for Psalm 34. And we pray that it's an encouraging to you too to trust the Lord in the midst of the difficult situations and trials of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you and we do thank you for David. And we thank you for his word. We thank you for his example. And I pray, God, that you will help us to be encouraged tonight to know that your eyes are upon us. We are never desolate. And even if we've made a foolish decision, you can deliver us out of that foolish decision also. Help us to trust you with our whole heart. Help us to believe that you have a plan for us, that you're working in us, both the will and the do of your good pleasure. And help us to trust you at all times. We do thank you for your love that you have given unto us. Lord, that you've loved us with an everlasting love before this world began. Be with your people through the upcoming week, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.